Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
So the new dance that's taking America by storm is the Macarena's out. It's the Trump dance.
Yeah.
Right, the Trump dance. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
So, Steve, have you done this? They're doing the Trump dance in the NFL now, right?
Yeah, at this point I haven't. I only have one arm. So I can't. I can do half the Trump dance.
All right, yeah. We're not hearing you, so.
Yeah, Steve had surgery on your.
Well, not on mine, but on his
bada boom, bada boom. Yeah. What did you have? What kind of surgery did you have? I don't want to get too personal here, Steve.
There's HIPAA violations.
Hello.
All right, there we go.
I had rotator cuff surgery.
From your days playing for the Raiders, Oakland Raiders, right?
That's right. It's been a while. I think I said this before on the show. Maybe you guys weren't here, but I injured my arm throwing a curveball to one of my son's teammates on his little league team when I was pitching his little league practice. He's now 34.
Wow, it's been that long?
It's been that long.
So you're throwing curveballs to little leaguers?
Not anymore.
Well, it's true. Not anymore.
And as far as the Trump dance goes, I can't. I've only got one arm.
Yeah.
So I can't.
The Trump dance. They're doing the Trump dance in football in the NFL yesterday. That's funny. All right. So anyway, well, Steve, we hope you. How long is the arm going to be in that sling?
I don't know. My first follow up appointment. This surgery was it Wednesday? Last Wednesday, and it's not until this Thursday is my first appointment back with the doctor.
Who snaps your shirt shut in the morning?
I button it up about this far, and then I throw it. Almost 3/4 of the way up. Then I throw it over my shoulder and kind of, you know, my wife, she's there. Heather will help me, obviously. But
yeah, well, you also can get your shirt. You don't have to button up like Ed and I got on.
Yeah,
my Ed's got a button up shirt.
Yeah. It has to be bigger than most of my shirts because.
Your arm has to be tucked in there.
My arm is in a sling, and Brent was asking me why it's under my shirt. It's because the sling is not just one of these slings. It's a sling that is all the way wrapped around your body. They want you to keep it close. They don't want you to lift your arm up like,
right.
You know.
You don't want to jam it on anything and jam that
You don't shoulder. Even want to move it at this point.
Right.
He went in and he said that he had to do more work than he thought he was going to have to do because he was just going to fix my rotator cuff and work on a tendon. But he says he got in there and my bicep was shredded was the word he used.
Oof. Well, all I can say is you have become a grown man that my dad warned me I would become. When I was in high school and my dad would say, well, yeah, come on, you got to be more responsible or you're going to wind up being a man who can't even dress himself. And that's what you become, Steve.
Well, there you go.
A man who can't even dress himself.
I am a negative example to you. Then,
so Steve, so Ed, you're making fun of the handicap there.
That's what
he was dealing with being.
All right, what's your story?
Microaggressed.
What's your first? Since you're not going to do the Trump dance,
I can't.
Shaking the nation or spreading across the country. What do you got, Steve?
We pretty much have decided the election. At least we know most of everything, and all the races have been called. I believe maybe one or two in California. Which just stuns me, but they're still fighting over the Senate in Pennsylvania, the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania, which was between McCormick and Casey. Bob Casey, the incumbent, Dave McCormick, who beat him, and everybody called the race, but it was close, and so they're doing a recount. And the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania recently ruled that you cannot count ballots that are not postmarked correctly, that aren't signed, that aren't put in the double envelope for privacy. You have to follow the rules and make it a legitimate ballot before you send it in. Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They do that so that you can't just grab a whole bunch of ballots and send them, for a bunch of people.
You mean like 2020?
Right. Exactly. So anyway, they are still counting it, and one of the counties in which they're counting it is Bucks County, and their commissioners there are saying, one of them at least, her name is Diane Ellis Marseg, I'm sorry, I'm sound, I'm feeling like Fred right now. Marcia Gila. Anyway, Diane says she's going to go ahead and count those illegal votes. She don't care. It doesn't matter to her because, well, no one really pays attention anyway. This is cut 13.
Not going to second that, mostly because I think we all know that precedent by a court doesn't matter anymore in this country, and people violate laws anytime they want. So for me, if I violate this law, it's because I want a court to pay attention to it.
There you go. Listen, I don't care what the law says. I'm doing it anyway.
This is outrageous what this Bucks County Commissioner said. I'm with you. I'm having a hard time seeing how to pronounce her name. Diane Ellis. Looks like Marsilia.
Yeah, there you go.
And so she's basically saying no one pays attention to courts anymore and people violate the laws, so I'm going to do it. So she's admitting to breaking the law.
Wow.
In counting these votes that the Supreme Court of the state has said are illegal and should not be counted.
Right.
So there was an automatic recount triggered because the difference between the two Senate candidates, McCormick and Casey, was roughly 26,000 votes. That's how much McCormick was up.
Yep.
And that is within one percentage point, and that triggers an automatic recount under Pennsylvania law. And so what Senator Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, one of them, said that if this continues, counting these illegal ballots to try to get Casey into the winner's spot, he said the Senate could refuse to seat Senator Casey. And so this is why laws regarding voting should be clear and they should be followed, because this undermines the process and it's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
Next story.
All right. We've been talking, I think we talked last week about the January 6th prisoners and their plight, still in D.C., still being held. And we heard Donald Trump ask a couple times, are you going to pardon the men? And he was asked. And he said he would. But just another indication that this is true. There's a blogger and a guy on Twitter called, his name is Benny Johnson. And he was invited to Mar-a-Lago for a dinner at which Trump attended the dinner. And this is what he wrote. The most chilling moment from the dinner with Donald Trump last night I had at Mar-a-Lago. After being welcomed to the dining area with thunderous applause, Trump took out his iPad and began to DJ, as he is known to do. The first song Trump played gave the entire club chills. Trump played Justice for All. Listen to this, cut 10.
And to the Republic for which it stands.
So it's reported, and this is a recording of it, that the J6 prisoners that are being held in D.C. sing the national anthem. They sing it every night together. And that was somebody that recorded it, and they, of course, added the bed music, and they put Donald Trump's voice in it. But I think it's another sign that Donald Trump is thinking about those men. And in fact, this is what Benny Johnson wrote. He says, the entire club stood in reverence. This was a defiant message from the president-elect to the January 6th political prisoners. We have not forgotten you. Hold on. Justice is coming.
All right. So I'm constantly stunned when I hear about how long these – are they mostly men or there's men and women?
If there are women, I don't believe they're being held in the same
place. So let me ask you. I'm saying – that are being kept, some of them without court cases.
Yes.
Still have not had a court case. This is stuff you read about in fascist or communist countries. The people that are supposedly, and we don't know, this is just what the explanation that they sing the national anthem every night. Are these people who are still in jail because they've been found guilty, or are they still awaiting a trial?
Some of them are still awaiting a trial. Some of them have been found guilty of trespassing or some. They've been found guilty. Nobody's been found guilty of anything that has ever been sentenced to like 4 years or
right.
however many long it's been. So they're way over sentenced at this point. But yeah, they're still there. They're still there.
Well, listen, that if they are singing the national anthem, if that's what they do every night, that'd give me chills.
Yeah.
And obviously President Trump cares about them. And listen, we've said on this show many times that what some of these people did was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, going into congressional offices and sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair, all that kind of stuff. But the penalty, even for those people, I don't think fits the crime. And the FBI under this Lawfare and politicized Department of Justice, they were just going around scooping up everybody and just basically saying you were part of an insurrection.
They're
so you don't get
him up. I read something about a week ago where they came to some guy's door and arrested him because they finally they found a recording of him in the Capitol. I don't know, for some, now that they have AI and the facial recognition, hopefully this will be put to bed or stopped in January when Donald Trump takes office. But retribution going on like crazy. And, there's some conspiracy theories out there that it wasn't just Trump supporters. Just leave it at that.
Well,
leave it at that, Steve. Just going to leave it at that?
I'm going to leave it at that, unless you want me to explain.
It at that is code for I believe it.
Yeah. You're talking about the quote-unquote conspiracy that there were FBI agents in the crowd egging people on
right.
to spur some sort of lawless activity.
I have heard that.
Yes.
Yeah. See, there's also somebody...
Some people say.
Because we can't... No one's ever been able to get a straight answer from those in charge of the FBI
right.
or the Justice Department when they've been asked...
Here's an interesting thing, out
in the open, were there government representatives of the FBI amongst the crowd?
Here's another.
Okay, one thing real quick. When President Trump gets inaugurated, he's gonna pardon all these folks.
He has said that
it's going to be a moot point. They're a moot point. Well, maybe not a moot point, but they'll be free to go. And they have been. Sandy Rios has covered this ad nauseum. I don't mean that in a critical way. She's covered it a lot. And these folks, the punishment didn't fit the crime. They were political. A lot of them were just political prisoners because nobody spoke out on their behalf. Because if you did, you go, you're for invading the Capitol and an insurrection, huh? You're not
right.
You don't But again, does the punishment fit the crime? Certainly not today's world. We're letting murderers go.
Right.
I was reading yesterday in Oakland, California. Now, this is in California, mind you, but in Oakland, California, in the Bay Area, they're having a revolt among the citizenry. And these aren't conservative people, but they're revolting against this woke stuff that's letting all the criminals go. And in the name of social justice. And the mayor of Oakland got beat. Bad, I think, it's San Francisco DA or
the Soros DA in Los Angeles, George Gascon.
So even the liberals are getting tired. Liberal citizens vote Democrat all day, every day. They're voting. They're starting to vote out these pansies that are soft on crime.
And by the way, those votes followed the president. He shifted California to the right by 6 to 7 points.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I wanted to play something here that's funny.
Not yet.
Okay. It's not ready yet. Ed didn't know.
I don't know anything about this.
You know, you've seen it.
Oh, I have?
Yeah, it's the mother-in-law thing.
Oh. No, that is funny.
Okay, so we're having to get it off TikTok, right? So
I'm glad you lowered your voice so that none of our listeners can hear it.
Well, it's...
It is hilarious.
It is hilarious. Somebody sent that to us. It was going around. I think it's gone viral now.
Yes. I've seen it several times. It kind of makes its loops through social media.
Yeah, I just threw it over to Brent Creeley, our producer, and he's trying to get it where we can.
We'll see how good Brent is.
Yeah. Put it in the system. All right, you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Steve. Next story, Steve.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for Brent's hand sign there. But Morning Joe and Mika have sat down with Hitler. They went to dinner with Hitler and said that they were going to go ahead and try to
By
be
Hitler,
nice.
You mean Donald Trump.
By Hitler, I mean Donald Trump, because they had called him Hitler repeatedly. They had threat to democracy.
Did they call him that?
Yes.
Okay.
No one was more unhinged about Donald Trump than Joe and Mika.
Yeah.
But they traveled to the White House, to Mar-a-Lago to visit him because, they need to reset the table, as it were. This from CNN. In a back and forth that the husband and wife co-host scripted ahead of time, Scarborough said, "We didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so. But we did agree was to restart communications again with Hitler." See, this is why I don't think they really ever believed this rhetoric about danger to democracy and Hitler and all this stuff. The left is just trying to scare people and trying to.
I think some of them believed it. I don't think some of these professional news media personnel probably did. But I think ladies on The View did. I think they were all in. They really believed.
Well, I don't know if they
threat to democracy.
Well, so there were a lot of people on TikTok that did. You saw these people that became unhinged. I don't have it because she was impossible to understand because she was weeping so hard. But this young lady who was weeping and weeping that now she's afraid to go on dating apps because she might end up dating a Trump supporter.
Well, I mean, there were before the election, weren't there ladies on social media? I saw a couple of those were sent around where they were telling other women, just if your husband's going to vote for Trump, you need to divorce him.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I don't know if I'd call those people ladies.
Well, that's valid.
I've seen that.
Females.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a biologist, Tim, so I can't always
Touché.
Say who's a female and who isn't.
Hey, I got to quote here John Fetterman.
Ah.
The senator from Pennsylvania who, remember?
Yeah.
He got elected. And so he's been surprisingly moderate to conservative on some issues.
Yes.
Okay. And since he seems to have overcome his, whatever he had a stroke or what, mini stroke?
I think he did. I think he had a stroke.
Remember that?
Yes.
He went through that?
Yep.
Anyway. He says, Democrat from Pennsylvania, he says, Democrats can't afford to continue to, quote, freak out, end quote, over everything President-elect Trump says or does. This is, I'm quoting him now, quote, "It's still not even Thanksgiving yet." Fetterman told CNN State of the Union host Jake Tapper on Sunday, quote, "If we're having meltdowns, you know, every tweet or every appointment or all those things, I mean, it's going to be 4 years." End quote. I think it would have been, it's going to be, what he meant to say was kind of, it's going to be a long 4 years for Democrats if we're going to whine and complain about every single thing Trump does.
Fetterman came in 2020, you will remember, and we kind of gave him a little bit of grief because he had the stroke and he was having a hard time putting his words together.
Yes.
And he was an outlier. He was the rogue Democrat that was, you know, going to, hopefully they thought was going to be the bluest of blue. And I don't know if the stroke red pilled him a little bit or if he never was, but he's since regained his ability to put a sentence together and his thoughts. And he's by no means conservative, by no means Republican, but he certainly is honest.
He stands with Israel though. I know that, you know, and he doesn't think being concerned about millions of people just flowing into our country here illegally is something that a right-wing xenophobe issue. He says that's an issue for Democrats too. That I'm.
He strikes me as a
more common sense
traditional liberal,
right?
Who is not
right
on this radical wing of the party.
All right, we got the video ready here. So what you're about to hear, I wish you could see the face of the man. Somebody, this is going around. Many of you have already seen it probably. And it's the face of a Hispanic man, it looks like to me. And
he's pretending that he's concerned.
Yes.
About what's going to happen to his mother-in-law.
So listen to this.
Donald Trump won, and I am very, very afraid that he might deport my mother-in-law. She entered illegally to the country, and she lives in Street 4, number 47, apartment D, New York. I am very, very concerned. That's right behind the green apartment.
Yeah. Keep going.
I have nothing bad happened to her. The gate is always open. You don't have any dogs either. Street 4, number 47, apartment D. If she gets deported, how my life would be.
What are you saying?
If she get deported, how my life would be.
Why? Street 4, number 47, apartment D.
Anyway, that was a TikTok video, I think. I don't know who the comedian was or who the guy was there, but that was,
it got tons of play,
right? He didn't want his mother-in-law to deport. He was worried about her.
He was giving her address
right behind the green fence.
No dogs.
No dog. The fence is always open. And that's an old way of making jokes. If your mother-in-law,
yeah,
you know, and so he was playing off that. What will happen to her if my mother-in-law is deported? What will my life be like?
All right, Steve, last story.
Probably. All right, last story. I want to give a shout out to the New York Times, who's doing some fact checking. And I mean, the epic fact checking. They had to take a time to fact check the new HHS director. No, yes, Dr. Robert Kennedy. Dr. Robert Kennedy Jr., who has been on this thing about food and the additives that we have in our food down here, as opposed to the additives that they had, they have elsewhere in
Canada, the UK, etc.
He wrote, in some categories, the entire departments, like nutritional department at the FDA, they have to go. We're not doing their job. They're not protecting our kids. Why do we have Fruit Loops in this country that have 18 or 19 ingredients, and you go to Canada and it's got two or three? This is the fact check from the New York Times. Mr. Kennedy has singled out Fruit Loops as an example of a product with too many artificial ingredients, questioning why the Canadian version has fewer than the U.S. But he was wrong. The ingredient list is roughly the same, although Canada's has natural colorings made from blueberries and carrots, while the U.S. product contains red dye 40, yellow dye 5, and blue 1, as well as butylated hydroxytoluene, or BHT, a lab-made chemical that is used for freshness, according to the ingredient label.
So the Fruit Loops in Canada and the United States are exactly the same, except where they're different.
They have no chemicals except where they do.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And they were mocked, by the way. The New York Times roundly mocked.
I'm going to have
deservedly
so. I've had my chance at mocking them later today.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Brent Creeley. Let's see. Steve Jordahl.
Chris Woodward.
And a cast of no one else. All right. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.